Do you exist? Then God loves you. God is the source of existence, and God is love. If you exist, it is because God loves you. And if God loves you, He wants to provide for you, for what you really need, and He wants you to be happy. So the next time you hear that gnawing question in your heart, does God love me? Will God provide for me? Answer it with this question: do I exist? The answer to that is the answer to the others. And the answer to these questions, of course, is yes. So why do you worry? Food, drink, and clothing. Not only do we worry about these things, we like to lengthen that list. Netflix, vacations, video games or fancy cars, all the joys that money can buy. These things the pagans seek. They make slaves out of us, and we are glad to be such. To the idol that is money, the false god that is security, we say, take my time, my energy, my thoughts, and all the affection of my heart, if only you will give me wealth or beauty or power. But a man's got to eat. The Lord knows that that is true. People should work if they want to make a living. Right again. Even a quick look through Scripture, and you'll find that God firmly agrees that we need to be responsible, that we should work hard, that we need to do our fair share. Still, no one can serve two masters. It is one thing to take care of business. It is quite another to worship it. While most people don't literally fall to their knees and bow before their paycheck, many nonetheless worship it. Human beings are designed to worship. All human beings are always worshiping something, even if they don't realize it. Wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where does your mind go when it is quiet? What rests upon your mind in the evening, and what prods it awake in the morning? Sometimes it's as simple as looking at your calendar and your checkbook to see what matters most. But the clearest sign is what concerns you. Do not worry. Three times Jesus gives this command, probably one of the hardest for human beings to follow. How can we not worry? Won't telling me not to worry make me worry about worrying? How do I stop? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And how to do that? Fortunately for us, we are about to enter the best season for learning just that. Lent, that time of year for a second New Year's resolution, the chance to finally start that diet, the annual who is tougher competition. It can easily become all of those things, but the point, as always, is our relationship with the eternal triune God. And just as there are three persons in the one God, there are three primary practices that we use during Lent to grow closer to that God: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And these three practices attack the heart of the problem that Jesus warns us of today. Prayer is fundamental to that trust that undercuts worry. Like all human trust, trusting in God requires honest communication. When calling us to pray, Christ and His church are not merely asking us to recite a set of words that we learned as children. These memorized prayers are useful because they give voice to things that we would not know how to express otherwise. And prayer is a genuine communication with our Creator. Yes, these formulas can teach us how to ask for what we want, even when we aren't sure what that is, but they also keep us mindful of just what we believe. But of course, communicating with God can take a variety of forms. And it also means listening to Him. Listening for His voice in Scripture, in silence, in spiritual reading. These are valuable forms of prayer. And then there is that blessed gift of simply spending time with those you love. Genuine friends or a tried and true married couple, these can share each other's company and find reassurance and trust in recognizing that the other is simply happy to be there with them. So it is with spending time with God. How will you deepen your trust and communication with God this Lent? Fasting. Fasting is an essential practice for Christians. And truly, a Christian should practice some form of fasting all year round. In Lent, however, we make a special and conscious effort. Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, giving up meat on Fridays, offering something up. Some people turn Lent into a diet. I caution you against that. If you try to serve both your appearance and your God, you may fall into that trap of trying to serve two masters. Give Lent some careful thought in light of Christ's warning to us today. What in my life occupies too much of my interest or concern? Am I, in fact, too eager for a certain food or drink? Do my thoughts constantly go toward what I will wear? Am I always anxious about finding time to spend on television or on the internet? Give up those things. Fasting helps us to detach at the level of experience by forcing ourselves to experience the absence of something we are attached to. We can begin to see that it's not the end of the world to do without. We can tell our hearts, see, we can survive without this. Turn to God and His kingdom instead. And then there is almsgiving. Typically, fasting and almsgiving go together. You give up a meal or a luxury and give that, or the money for it, to someone in need. In a modern context, you could also cancel a subscription to some form of entertainment and put that money toward a better cause. Or perhaps to do the same with drinks and desserts. Nonetheless, we are still called to make that extra effort at generosity with time, treasure, and talent. This practice cuts directly at that temptation to serve mammon, to serve the idol of money. If we are willing to give away our money without any reward or recognition, it just doesn't seem worthwhile to give our hearts and our worship to making that money. But notice that qualifier, without reward or recognition. In this same chapter, Jesus tells us, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So be creative about not calling attention to the ways that you give. If someone happens to notice that you are making a donation, do not worry. Just be careful not to look for that attention. And ultimately, above all, what Jesus is after is not absent-mindedness about the concerns of the world, but wholeheartedness. Two men can have the same job and the same problems, but be on opposite sides of fulfilling God's command here. A holy person can still work hard and make decent money, but they do it for the love of God, as if they were working to please God, and it just so happens that their work makes them money. Do not fall into that trap that Satan has successfully sprung on so many Americans. Do not fall for the lie that you can serve God after you get your life together, after you are financially secure. You will never be secure in this life. So do not wait for it and do not worry about it. Take life one day at a time. God doesn't want you to serve Him and His kingdom sometime in the future. But right now, if you are well off, let your soul rest in gratitude to God and generosity to others. If you are in trial, let your heart rest on the cross with Christ. Do not worry about tomorrow, for sufficient for a day is its own evil. Will God care for me tomorrow? Does he care for me right now? I don't know. Do you exist?